back on downtown. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. He's playing hurt, but he's a trooper. Eric Meehan joining us this afternoon. Hello, sir.
Well, that with that sort of tunage leading me in, how could I feel bad?
I was hoping it would help bring you some comfort to your troubled soul.
All the time. That's why the man existed, to bring comfort to many, many troubled souls. My soul's actually okay. It's my stomach.
No.
Yeah, my soul's feeling pretty good. Stomach bugs. Boo.
Boo, that's okay. Not good.
That's all right. That's all right. We're on the road to recovery. So, yeah, hope everybody is well out there. I had actually, before all this descended, I had a pretty good weekend because I didn't have the opportunity to watch my football team lose. Which is nice.
And you got to see rivals of your football team go down to bitter defeat, and that's almost as rewarding.
Oh, it's honestly, it's more. It's more. I mean, the look on Jerry Jones' face, if I were feeling this bad now, but that was happening now, I'd probably feel 100% better.
Well, I think so.
I think that would rocket me out of this. No, that was beautiful. That was really, truly... And I love love. I love love. So there we go. Although I don't know why we can't have a third franchise quarterback in a row.
That would be nice.
That's okay. Okay. Moving on to wine. as everybody remembers, this is when we sort of talk about, you know, the intros, the basics, etc. So today is the day we talk about how we in the biz taste wine and how I recommend that you all try to taste wine. Because frankly, I have this theory, and I think it's pretty solid, is that Americans don't tend to smell what they drink and eat. And, of course, smelling will come up in a second as far as the tasting process. But, yeah, I mean, just, you know, in a world where we have, you know, Pepsi and barbecue sauce, not that there's anything wrong with those things, it's, you know, where they have labs dedicated to making the common hamburger taste like something, you know, that you literally can't resist buying another one of the next day. We've sort of been conditioned to not appreciate the subtleties of our foodstuffs, and that's not just wine, that's everything. So let's talk about how we taste. And, of course, longtime listeners will know that I view the term tasting as a misnomer. Tasting does play a part of it, but there's several steps. And the first step is using your eyes. Provided you've been blessed with the gift of sight, that is going to be the first indicator, and as is, you know, the first indicator for so many things of our life. I mean, you look down a darkened alley, and perhaps your sight is like, yeah, not there. We're going to go down this way, or, you know, whatever. And in the case of wine, your sight will tell you a lot of things. Helps if there's a white background, if possible, a plate or a piece of white cardboard, something like that. And I always advocate using stemware, as it were, as opposed to some of these stemless glasses, and also clear glassware. If you have a, you know, colored blue glass, it's not going to help you see what's in a glass. So clear glass with a stem doesn't have to be, you know, super special. You know, you've got companies like Riedel and Spieglau coming out with glasses for every possible varietal under the sun. It's simply not necessary. But a good glass, which you can then tip so that you can sort of slightly tip it over that white background so that you can sort of see almost an eggy shape. and then look at the edges of that shape. And then look towards the middle. And what is this going to tell you? Well, it's going to give you an indication of the potential age of that wine. Why? Because wines tend to go to brown. It's oxidization. You know, you ever cut open an apple and it turns brown? Sort of the same deal, except it's a much slower process in theory with wine because there's not a lot of oxygen mixing with it. But if you have, for instance, a young Sauvignon Blanc, right, or something like that, a nice sort of fresh white, or if you've got a younger red, you know, something with more intense color, but you look at it and it's yellowed or it's we say in with red wines, it's turning to brick, right? So the coloration is more brick-like than it is, you know, intense, more primary reds. That might be a problem. It might not be a problem, but your friendly neighborhood wine merchant will certainly tell you this is a certain type of wine that is made in this style, and yes, it will look a little strange or whatever. But otherwise, let your eyes be your guide. There are, you know, wines that their seals weren't good, so they oxidized early, or maybe something funky got in it during the bottling process. You never know, but your eyes will help. Next, and the most important thing, is smelling. Your olfactory nerves can tell your brain that it's smelling any one of, 10,000 different aromas, but your tongue, your palate, only gives you four different tastes, right? And we all remember the charts from when we were in elementary school. And of course, if you have this concept of umami, which the Japanese have come up with and we've sort of embraced, that's maybe your fifth taste, but it's still four or five versus thousands. So you've got to smell and you've got to swirl. There's something called esters, which are chemical compounds which are in the wine, and they groove with the oxygen that it's getting when you're swirling it around, and that will release them and let you smell. And I always recommend don't smell like you're fake smelling, snorting in and stuff. Just breathe like you'd be breathing. For instance, I always like to say, like, you're walking down a street and you walk by a bakery or something like that. And all of a sudden, you're not snorting in or anything, but you're maybe just a little deeper. Maybe just going to linger there. That's what I mean by smelling. And then once you've done that, yes, taste it. Put it in your mouth. Unless a combination of the sight and the smell told you, don't do that. But otherwise, you're doing that, you're putting it in, let it linger, get to all the parts of your mouth. If you can, kind of keep trying to inhale a little bit when you're drinking it, sipping it. And then, when you swallow it, do note what we call the finish, right? Like, it's going to leave sensations in your mouth. Sometimes it's quite an acidic wine, right? So it's kind of sharp and tingly. Sometimes it might be bubbly, so obviously you'll be left with a sort of a feeling of that effervescence. Sometimes it'll be really smooth and ideally no harsh alcoholic overtones or anything like that. Excuse me. And that's sort of, it in a nutshell, but we'll cover a little more. But basically, once again, looking preferably over something white with a good piece of glassware, smelling, and then tasting. And then the next step, especially for we in the industry, but hopefully for everybody out there, is did it meet your expectations? Like, when you were looking at it or smelling it, did it end up tasting like it smelled? Did it end up tasting different? Did it have an entirely surprising finish that you totally weren't expecting, or did it meet your expectations? And of course, depending on what you're looking for in a wine, that's very important. Sometimes I'm looking for a specific style of wine and somebody will bring, well, this is, this new winemaker in the same region, but you'll taste it. You're like, yeah, but this doesn't match with what I'm expecting from this area. Not that that's bad, but depending on where it's from, it's a little more or less important that it actually represents the region as a whole, which is why some regions, like, of course, Burgundy, are literally very exacting on what you can do and what you can't do and the grapes you can use and stuff like that. And other people, like Napa, pretty much do whatever you want as long as you've got 75% of the grapes in that bottle from Napa. So it's really all over the place, but your expectations matter, especially if, this doesn't matter if it's a $10 bottle or a $100 bottle. You went out and you paid for that, and hopefully it meets what you wanted. Or it's delightfully surprising, either way. And speaking of the $10 and $100 thing, of course, one of our favorite aberrations to what I just talked about was the famed blind taste test. where people will put a $10 wine and a $100 wine in bags and taste people on them and say, what's the more expensive? Which goes to show that, you know, your perception is not necessarily going to be reality. And there's a lot of inexpensive wines that are surprisingly good, and a lot of expensive wines that are, even if they're not, they're probably good, but they may not be exactly what you're looking for. A lot of people like to spend money that they don't need to in the search for better wine when it could just be a different wine. So that's a question for your friendly neighborhood wine merchant. I'm sure I'm basically out of time. How are we doing?
About 30 seconds left.
Okay. The only other thing I will mention then is that when you're tasting wine, one of the things I love to do, and people always ask what temperature should we serve this at, my answer is usually for red, start with like a cellar chill, so about 55 degrees, and let it warm up and keep tasting it as it warms up. And then for, you know, whites that you want cooler, ditto, put them in the fridge for a little while, but then taste them as they warm up, because temperature also plays an enormous, enormous part in this. So there you go. Now you guys know how to taste wine. Next week we'll talk about ways to learn more about wine, including tasting, by the way. That's the bonus. Hopefully I will be back amongst the living then.
we'll keep our fingers crossed that it's a speedy, that's not true, bumpy recovery.
Amen to that, sir.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
So long, folks.
That is Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown. Stop in and visit them, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.